today on Real Radio.
If you've sinned something in the past, or if you're sinning something right now, or if you're going to sin something in the future, do you think you can sin so great that Christ's blood can't cover it? Don't exalt yourself like that, that you could somehow sin greater than God's blood's power?
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called "Will the Real You Please Stand Up?" continues in his series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. We'll be covering Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21 today. How can we who are sinful by nature come to a God who really is truly holy by nature? The only way to come to God is through His gospel of grace. In your Christian experience, have you ever asked yourself, "Who am I?" Galatians 2:20 says, "I am crucified with Christ. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives within me." So, who are we then? The Apostle Paul tells us that we are a people who live in the flesh, but who live by faith in Christ who loved us and gave Himself for us. We are no longer a slave to sin, and death no longer has dominion over us. Today, on day two of this lesson, Pastor Jack asks, "Shall we continue in sin so that grace may abound?" The answer is, absolutely not. Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6, verse 4, that "For just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life." And now continuing his lesson called "Will the Real You Please Stand Up?" Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Do you really believe it to the point that it ought to be received and believed by that when Paul the Apostle, when we died on the cross with Christ at some pre-appointed time in history past, according to the Word of God, that would mean that we are dead to the old person of who we were outside of Christ. Meaning this, that before you received Jesus, you and I, we were lost. We were sinners in this world without hope. By the way, read the fine print of the Bible. Now we are sinners in this world with hope. Did you know that? Well, I find that highly offensive, Pastor, that you would have me come in and offend me like this. You're a sinner. You are a rotten, stinking sinner, just like me. And you know what? Only sinners get to go to heaven. Did you know that? It's the self-righteous that are kept out of it. When that self-righteous man stood on the corner and said, "I thank you, God, that I'm not like other people." The Bible says that a little poor sinning man heard that and saw that, and he could scarcely lift his head up to heaven. And he said, I ask you, God, to forgive me. I'm a sinful man. And Jesus says, "I tell you, that little guy went away forgiven instead of this righteous knucklehead." He didn't use the word knucklehead, but that's my word for a religious, self-righteous, stuck-up person. I'm crucified with Christ. Yeah, the word means at a period of time. So all of a sudden, I'm starting to be introduced to something. If I'm a Christian, I've been crucified with Christ. Who's been crucified with Christ? The old Jack. The Jack that is the Jack of the past. The Jack that's dead. The Jack that I don't want to have alive anymore. The Jack that sometimes, because you and I have a sinful nature, will rear his head. And I have to apply the Word of God. But listen. Oh, if there's any PhD psychologist in here or analyst, you're going to freak over what I'm about to say. All I can tell you is deal with it. Here's the deal. In Christianity, it is this. We're two people. I knew it, Pastor. The guy's nuts. The pastor's flipped. No, it's true. The Bible says there's the old man who was crucified with Christ, and there's the new man who's alive in Christ. There's the Jack that's dead, and there's the Jack that's alive. There's two people. And the Bible's over and over again teaching us that we died in Christ at the cross. Died to what? Died to sin, died to the demands of the law. You know, the law was given by God so that mankind would know they cannot save themselves. Did you know that? The law was given as an incredible road sign that caused everybody along that highway to pull over and panic. Who can be saved? This is God's righteous standard. I can't even keep the first law. And God says, you can't. That's why I sent my son. He kept the law so that his righteousness can be given to you if you would believe in him. This is salvation. You say, well, can I do anything about it? Believe it. No, I mean add something to it. Don't do that. Because the Bible says if you attempt to do that, you've fallen from the grace of God. And the Bible says that by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. Wow. Wait a minute. Are you saying to me, are you encouraging me, Pastor, to accept Christ and be forgiven and to realize that I've been crucified with Christ? Nevertheless, I live, yet it's not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Yep. And what that means is, are you ready? That when the old Jack sins, this is what I'm to do. When I have a bad thought, or when I do a bad thing, when I sin against God, this is exactly what I'm supposed to do. Father, I just sinned. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me. It was wrong. It was evil. And that's my old nature. That's the old Jack. And Lord, I am not alive in that manner anymore. I don't want to live that way anymore. I'm not interested in that anymore. I don't ever want to do that again, God, anymore. Lord, forgive me. And he's faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness, says the Bible. If I confess my sin to him. And then what do I do? I make confession to God and I get up and I go on my way, never thinking anymore about it. You see, this is where you and I blow it. Man, I sure blew it this morning. Yeah, and what do you go around thinking about all day? How I blew it. And here's what we do. God, I promise I'll never do that again. And God goes, oy vey. Jack, you poor mess, you have no power to make me a promise. However, I put my Holy Spirit in you, and you're a new man in Christ Jesus. And I'm going to live my life through you. I tell you what, Jack, in this life, from your past, current, and future sins, as you commit them, you confess them. When they happen, you confess them, and you seek me, you follow me. But you died at the cross with my son. You walk in newness of life. And as I make this statement this morning, those words that are biblical truth fall upon your ears, and some of you who are legalists recoil against that because you're thinking, wait a minute, what he is suggesting is that we can go out and send up a storm and then just ask God to forgive us. It's not what I'm saying. Because the person who receives the true grace of God would never plan and think of such a thing. Only someone who's lost in religion can think that they can sin as they will, do as the world does all week long, and then go to church and all is done, and then Monday or Sunday afternoon start it all over again. And you guys, that is antinomianism. It is sin. It is to presume upon the grace of God. It is to have no conversion. It is to be religious without relationship. It is a horrible end. And yet the world is bound up in religion and in philosophies of thinking that this is what you can do. And this is not Christianity. Listen, I have been crucified with Christ. Positionally, that's true. In the mind of God, that is an absolute fact. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 9. Jot it down as we go. Romans 6, 1 through 9. Listen to this carefully. Are you guys listening? I know I'm yelling, but I'm so excited. I'm going to heaven. If I drop dead right now, I'm going to heaven. All because of what Jesus did for me. See, the law says do. Jesus says done. Finished. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? I can almost feel with Paul. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid. How shall we who died to sin any longer? What? Yeah, Christians have died to sin. But Jack, I'm still tempted. Me too. But you know what? It doesn't have the power over me that it once did, that it had. I'm a new guy. Used to be before, the world would say, do this, and Jack would jump. Now the world says, do this. And now I get into a battle with temptation, and there's a war, and I got to use the word of God to get out of it, and then I get on top of it. All right, I didn't do it. I made it. And then there's sometimes I completely fail at it. I blow it. And God says, you confess that to me. And, oh, God, I'm so sorry. It was wrong. You know what? That's new life. Listen, the Bible says in Romans 6:2 that we died to sin. Verse 3, or do you know that as many as of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death. Remember when we took you down to Corona Del Mar and dipped you in the Pacific Ocean? That was an outward demonstration of a spiritual truth. What was happening when we baptized you in water? It was a physical announcement of an internal decision that you had made, that you identified with the death of Christ, that you died with him. And that when you came up out of the water, that was an outward symbol of you being resurrected with Jesus Christ in newness of life. How many of you were baptized? Raise your hand. You've been baptized in the water. That's what you went through. You didn't go down, you get wet, and come up, oh, I'm clean, look, I'm clean. The water washed me clean. The water did nothing. In fact, where we baptized you, you probably had seaweed on you when you came up. Romans 6:4, therefore, we who were buried with him through the baptism into his death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of God the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. This is a real practical thing because it is positionally true. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, you ought to put your name there, the old Jack, the old Susie, the old John, was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we should also live with him. Listen to this. This is what this means here. There's a live guy. He's alive. He's going down the freeway at 150 miles an hour. He has a massive heart attack. Because when he looked in the mirror, there was a string of CHP cars behind him. He's going 150. He sees those red lights. He has a heart attack. He pulls, he doesn't mean to pull. He's dead. He has a heart attack. He dies. The car goes over to the side, and all the cops surround him with guns drawn. The CHP comes up and says, "Give me your license." There's no response. The officer is so indignant, he reaches into the car and slaps the guy. Nothing happens. The officer goes back to his car, gets his book, and throws it at the guy's head. Nothing goes on. He calls for the paddy wagon thing, and they cuff the guy and drag him off to prison. The guy never says a word. How come? He's dead. He was sinning. When he had a heart attack, the Bible says that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That we died, Paul says in Galatians 2:20, with Christ on the cross. So the Jack who's a speeder, stop it. Officer, I'll have you know. No. Listen, the Jack who's a speeder, the Jack who's a stinker, died with Christ on the cross. See, man, that's denial. No, that's Christianity. You see, I'm very aware. You don't need to point out my sins. I'm very aware of my sins. God keeps me on a very short leash, and I'm glad for that. And I'm glad about that. But the wonderful thing is now I have newness of life in Christ. You see, it's as though I had a heart attack 150 miles an hour speeding away from the police, and by the time they got to me, they couldn't extract anything from me. I was dead. In fact, you know what happens when you die? You have no sign of life. Your identity is over. You're done. And when the Bible says that we died with Christ, our old life was over in him. It's done. So that we should now walk in newness of life. I've often joked around with you guys that we would, Christians who don't understand this, would very much make good Muslims. Because Muslims have to flog themselves with whips once a year to purge their sins. Christians don't whip themselves, but they often just put themselves in a state of depression because they've sinned against God rather than confess it and be on your way, my friend. Right here, right now, the legalists would say, "I would never say such a thing." Well, if that bugs you, listen to what St. Augustine said. Love God and live as you please. How does that sit with you? "I would never say that." Of course you wouldn't, because you're not saved. That's why. You're lost. You're a legalist. You don't know anything about the grace of God. You're trying to get to heaven on your own good works. You're thinking that you can tell God, you know, look what I did, look what I did. Oh, look what I did. That's anathema. That's falling from grace, says the Bible. That by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. Amen. This is very important. Well, in Romans 7, verse 7, Paul says again, what shall we say then? Is the law sinful? No. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. For I would not have known covetousness unless the word of God says, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, in other words, when the law is posted, now I'm aware of sin because I have a sin nature. Even though I've been redeemed, I still struggle with sin. Why? Because I have a sin nature. That nature will not be loosed from me until I die. That's why death for the Christian is a wonderful thing. He says, for I would not have known sin without the commandment. And the commandment produced in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law. But when the commandment came to me, sin revived and I died. And the very commandments, the very law, the very decree of God's righteousness, which I thought would bring life, I found it to bring death. That's because the law was never intended to save any man. Romans 3:20 to 3:22 says, therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in the sight of God. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now, listen to verse 21. But now, the righteousness of God, apart from the doing or keeping or the attempt of the law, has been revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on upon all who believe. See, the truth is, my friend, our old life has been done away with Christ. When Jesus died on the cross, in the mind of God, listen, in the mind of God, when Jesus died on the cross, we died there too. You say, Jack, how can that be when I wasn't even born yet? Because God does not live in a time zone. He lives in eternity. That's why Paul the Apostle can say that he was crucified with Christ. The word, as you now know, means at a moment's time it happened. And so you and I were there also in the mind of God. So why do we struggle with our old man the way that we do? It's okay to struggle, but don't let him win anymore. The guy's dead. I don't know what your thing is, but let's say you go with a biggie. Let's say a Christian is really battling with alcoholism. That's a real common thing among people. I mean, I understand. I hear about it. Wait a minute. I want to encourage you to try something. And it may take you the rest of your life, but try this. Lord, I have a predisposition to alcohol. This is how I've learned how to deal with my problems. Lord, teach me now to set me free from being dependent upon that. Set me free, God. Lord, teach me what it is to be crucified with Christ in this area of my life. If that's not your thing, maybe it's pornography, or maybe it's anger, or maybe it's depression. Whatever it is, what plagues you? Listen, what plagues you? Listen, it's been crucified with Christ. So what's it doing bugging you? So, well, now you're defeating me because it does bug me. No, I'm encouraging you because it is bugging you, but it's defeated. Listen, the truth of the matter is, because you are now a new creation in Christ, go tell that depression that it's got to go back to the grave and begin to focus on God. Isn't it amazing that every one of us has a cross to bear? But each of us think our cross is bigger than our neighbor's cross. Well, I'm an alcoholic. Well, that's nothing. I'm an absolute depressed person all the time. Yours is nothing. And then some other guy comes and goes, oh yeah, you know, I struggle with this problem. And everyone thinks their own thing is the big insurmountable thing that God can't handle. Let me tell you, don't pride yourself. You think you have a sin or you've sinned something in the past. In fact, let me be biblically correct. If you've sinned something in the past, or if you're sinning something right now, or if you're going to sin something in the future, do you think you can sin so great that Christ's blood can't cover it? Don't Don't exalt yourself like that, that you could somehow sin greater than God's blood's power. You can't. The only person who will wind up in hell will wind up in hell not because they were a stinker or a sinner or a bank robber or a mother mugger or whatever they were. That's not why they go to hell. They go to hell for one reason, because they reject the free gift of Jesus Christ. That's it. That's blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. This is heavy stuff. You need to set your plow to deep in this stuff here. Listen to this. Listen to how Paul puts it. Turn to Romans 7, verse 1. This is amazing. Romans 7, 1 through 4. Paul says, "Do you not know, brethren, I speak to those who know the law, that the law has dominion over a man as long as he lives." Well, that's interesting. We've been hearing about being crucified with Christ. Now look what Paul says in verse 2. It's almost as like his brain skipped a groove, but not really. "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives." So what are you talking about? Yeah, when a woman is married to her husband, she's bound to that husband. The law dictates it so. Watch what Paul says. "But if the husband dies, she's released from the law of her husband." Verse 3. "So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another, she's found to be an adulteress." What's he saying? Can I insert it this way? It applies perfect to where we're at. "Hey, Peter," Paul would say. "Hey, Peter. You can't be married to the law and to Christ. You'd be like a woman who's married to some man and then she goes marries another man. Peter, you better pick who you're going to be married to. You're either going to be married to the law or you're going to be married to Christ, Peter, but you better make up your mind." That's what he's saying.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called "Will the Real You Please Stand Up?" Thanks for listening, and our hope is that the real you is the new you who lives by faith in Jesus Christ. "Will the Real You Please Stand Up" is part of Pastor Jack's series called Galatians, Breaking Free from the Bonds of Religion. It's a series that brings to light our struggles between grace and good deeds. For we are justified through faith and not of our works, should any of us boast. And we'll continue on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Today was day 2 of this lesson, and don't forget that you can pick up any of these days you might have missed at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Let me give you a tab that's going to really help you if you're interested in leading other people to the Lord. It's a tab called Know God. That's K-N-O-W, God. And it's right there at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. You know, we've all been there at some point. You're really strong in your faith. You know what you know. You know what's going on in your life and in your heart. But sometimes you may be a struggle to share it with other folks. Well, I'll tell you what. Go to the Know God tab. That's K-N-O-W, God, at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Pastor Jack's got a great video there that's going to help you approach non-believers in your life. You can learn from this video yourself or send it to an unbelieving friend. It's the Know God tab at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. Here's something kind of cool, goes along with the end of one year into the next. You know, a lot of us here at the church, Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, love to go through the Bible in one year together. So why don't you join us reading the New King James Version of the one-year Bible all together? This is it's probably the 15th or 20th year that we've done this together. We'd love for you to join us. And so this month's book of the month is the New King James Version of the one-year Bible. You can pick up your copy and join us in this quest at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and read along with us this year in the New King James Version of the Bible. Get yours today at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. It is the book of the month. We hope you'll join us. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.